book of John chapter 1. You may remain standing this morning. We will read from verse 1. John chapter 1. We'll read a few verses of scriptures. I kindly crave indulgence to stand to your feet, please. Just for today, let's have honor to God's word and just read. Honor for God's word. John chapter 1 in verse 1 to verse 11. If you're there, say amen. I read verse 1, you're coming in 2 until we get to verse 12. In the beginning, Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, everybody. In Him was life, and the life was a light of men. In the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Verse 8, everyone. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12, everybody. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become our God and our Father. I ask that you take my tongue and make it like the pen of a ready writer. Cause me to speak a word in season to a man, a woman, a boy, a girl who is in dear need of this word today. I want to pray that the wisdom that comes through your word will stabilize our lives and cause us to be the kind of men and women you have ordained us to be, to the intent that we might all have families that becomes nests from which the next generation is birthed from. We honor your majesty because your word is good with us, and everyone who loves you will say a big amen. If you're expecting his word this morning, say a big, big amen. All right, you may take your seats. God bless you. I'm sure you've all been tremendously impacted and blessed by the teachings that we have been receiving over the last few weeks. We've been talking about marriage and relationships works. I started by talking to you about relationship baggages. Go and get the CD and listen to it again. I thought that was such a blessing. And then we moved on to talking about relationship WhatsApp. What did we talk about after relationship baggages? Can I hear it again? And we said, in every relationship there are accounts, and what are you supposed to make into the accounts? Come on, talk to me, someone. If you don't make a deposit, no withdrawal this morning. What are you supposed to make into the accounts? And I said that any account that is empty, that relationship can easily be broken. Divorce is simply a confession to the public that for a long time, my husband and I have been running on an empty account. You didn't hear what I just said right now? Anytime you see a man and a woman head for divorce, the day that they experience, or the day that they manifest, or the day that they together go to the and break or dissolve or dissolute. The day that the marriage comes to an end is actually the day that you get to know that something is wrong with the marriage, but in reality it is simply a statement to the fact that long before now our marriage has been on the red. The account has been what, sir? Empty. Do you understand that? Nobody walks away from a marriage whose account is full. Did you hear what I just said right now? Get the CDs, listen to them. I'm sure you'll really, really be blessed. The women were like, they were the one that won the match. It's like the women's own where there was a winning one. Is that okay? But I noticed the men too were excited during their own time. Praise God. The reality is that we must all learn to make deposits into the accounts of each other in relationship. Today, I'm taking you a little bit further. I will be speaking to you. You want to celebrate that? You better do. We've got families to rescue. We've got marriages to rescue. We've got singles who need to get married to the right individuals and be happily married. So this marriage thing is a serious business. It can make you become a wreck in your life. Your present achievement will almost amount to nothing if you have a very defective marriage. It is critical that you choose carefully who you settle with, because that in itself has a major consequence. Praise the name of the Lord. So I'll be speaking to you over the next few weeks on what I titled the 9 laws of effective marriages and relationships that work. 9 powerful laws. I'll be starting today with the first law. It will be very brief because of the Thanksgiving service. And then on Wednesday, I'll be continuing with the second law. So if you miss out on any of the services, you will not only need to recreate the atmosphere, you will have to listen to the message in order to continue with us. Today, I want to start by sharing with you on what I title the law of celebration. One of the most powerful laws in relationship is what I call the law of celebration. I appreciate some bass, sir. Amen. One of the most powerful laws that governs the stability of every relationship, every marriage, is what I call whatever you celebrate appreciates. Hallelujah. Whatever you celebrate appreciates. Whatever you criticize will depreciate. The law of celebration says, whatever you celebrate appreciates. Whatever you criticize will eventually depreciate. Continuous emphasis on a subject communicates significance and importance. I will say that again. Continuous emphasis on a subject communicates importance and significance. What you repeat and reward gets repeated. What you reward gets repeated. If your wife cooks a good food and you say, wow, sweetheart, this food, the way you cooked it, the fish you put inside the soup, and honestly, I like it like that. Women are wired to repeat what was celebrated.
Somebody say amen.
I've not started. Are you already saying amen? Are you ready for me this morning? Come on, talk to me. Are you ready for me this morning? This will be one of the finest months for the rest of your life. I can personally tell you that the CDs from this teaching series for the whole of this month will be some of the CDs you need to play over and over until you deeply internalize the things that I'll be sharing. I'll be talking, sharing deep things with you. Continuous emphasis communicates significance and importance. In essence, whatever you keep talking about that you like, somebody is bound to repeat it again. Sweetheart, I like the way you lay our bed. She is bound to repeat that same thing. It is the way women are wired to think. Sweetheart, I want to thank you so very much. That rose flower you bought for me last week, you don't know how much I value. That's why I'm still keeping it there. Men are wired to duplicate, to repeat, photocopy, ranzeros. What a woman celebrates. My wife doesn't so much celebrate my presence with her in the market. And I'm somebody who likes to shop with my wife. I feel proud when I'm in the market. I need sound here, sir. I feel proud when I'm in the market, PJ, and my wife is beside. I feel like a king. In fact, it's like announcing to the whole world, hello, what's wrong with all of you? What are you looking for in the market? Can't you see me and my wife? You get what I'm saying, sir? But you know, when we got married, I said, sweetheart, let's go to, we say, she said she wants to go to the market. I said, let's go together. She wants to go and buy tomatoes. I said, let's go. She said, baby, I'm going to buy meat. I said, is it a crime for me to go there? Let's go together. When we get there, my wife will now price tomatoes. Sweetheart, you know I love you. So, Delta woman know they carry last. They know they lose money. My wife will price tomatoes. And that is the man will tell her 250 naira. My wife will say, waiting, maybe 230 naira. And I'm standing there. This is Reverend Sam. Where I say, you are wasting my time because of 20 naira. Buy this and let us go for God's sake. And then my wife says, sweetheart, let's go, Joe. It's not serious. If it's serious, he will call me. And sir, there's a problem. There's a problem now. Because for me, baby girl, you are wasting my time. And for me, I rather lose 20 naira and gain time. But for you, you want to gain 20 naira and lose time. I convert time to get money. You on your own spend time to get... So we will walk. Eventually, we'll get somewhere. She now buys it for 235 naira. You say, can't you see now, baby? I will have lost 15 naira. She has won a big trophy for gaining 15 naira. She will say, that 15 naira, if I use it to buy Maggie. And now I'm in my heart, the Lord have mercy on your Maggie. So, and then I was like, baby, but come. When we begin to walk around too much, I'm like, baby, come. All these things, no. And then I discovered that we began to have friction in the market. And then she began to make statement like, baby, I think don't worry about following me to the market. She began to criticize my going with her to the market. My enthusiasm to go with her to the market began to depreciate. What you celebrate appreciates. What you criticize depreciates. Unfortunately, once you begin to criticize something in someone, not only will that thing depreciate, it begins to create questions about your capacity to appreciate other things from the same person. Are you getting the sequence here? So the first thing you criticize is my going to market. But I am someone who is created to think logically and sequentially. So my suggestion or presupposition is that if you criticize my going to market with you, it's very probable if you will celebrate any other thing I do. Particularly if you are dealing with a woman. So the next thing I do is to recoil. Follow me carefully this morning, you'll be blessed. So the law states that what you appreciate does what, sir? Celebrate does what, sir? Appreciate. And then I told my wife, I said, sweetheart, a few years down the line, I called her, I said, going to market with you makes me happy. And thank God revival has come back. To the glory of God, amen. So now we go out shopping together. And I'm like, what do you, you know, listen. You know what? My way of communicating love to her is through gifts. I feel I am a husband when she makes me spend for her. Cut that away. You make me question. Woo! Take that away from me. You make me question my masculinity. Because my way of communicating my love to you is through the things that I do for you and with you. If you cut it off, you create question in me about my masculinity. That's why you have men who don't spend at home, but they spend outside. Because by spending outside, it makes them feel as men, because that is not accepted and celebrated at home. But take it easy, we are just starting. Whenever God wants to usher you into a new season in your life, He will bring someone that you need to your life as a season changer. Whenever God wants to usher you into a new season, He brings someone into your life who will come in as a season changer. The coming in of Pastor Sheung's child today has introduced a season changer in that family. Whether you like it or not, the moment a child comes into a family, that family never remains the same again. So the coming of a child into a home is a season changer. When a man and a woman get married to each other, the coming in of a new spouse is a season changer. When a girl finds a guy or a guy finds a girl he loves and they get engaged, a season changer has just stepped into your life. So when God wants to change your season, He brings in someone into your life who will function as a season changer. Do you understand what I'm saying? When God wants to change your business, He will bring into your business, introduce you to somebody who is going to act as a season changer in your business. Everyone under the sound of my voice here, if your business has made any significant progress in the last few months or last few years, you were related to the fact that somebody was introduced to you. You were introduced to somebody or you met with somebody. Nobody happens in isolation. We are a product of a series of connections. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Next to God, you need the right people in your life. And that is why you need to understand set of the law of celebration. Don't forget what I said. Next to God, you need the right people in your life. That's why you need to understand the law of celebration. If you will ever move on as fast as you desire in life, you need to know how to celebrate people. Let me quickly announce to someone here, your season changer may not always look perfect. That's where the problem is. Your season changer will not always look perfect to you. If you disregard your season changer because your season changer doesn't look like what you want, you will miss what you need. I'm trying to help some people here. That's why I like the guy. Pastor, the guy's good. The guy's he knows how to talk to me, Pastor. Among all the other guys I've dated before, Pastor Sam, this guy is the only guy that knows how to talk to me. The guy is good. He can talk to me very well, Pastor Sam. This guy is Pastor Sam. He's tall. He's fine. Pastor Sam, he's got everything. But Pastor Sam, there's something I don't like about this guy. What's it? Oh, Pastor Sam, this guy snores a lot. In the first place, if you are not married, how do you get to know? Let's assume you saw him somewhere sleeping. Is that okay? For the purpose of love, believe in all things. Now listen to me. Let me say something to you. Are you looking for a man that has everything you want or a man that has everything you need? Let me show you where the equation has proven humanity faulty on every side. If you find a man that has everything you want, life has come to prove that most men that have everything you want don't have what you need. Why do we get into relationship love at first sight? The guy is tall. Pastor, I said I want a guy that is tall, dark, handsome in tongues. The guy speaks in tongues, tall, dark, and handsome. Get close a little bit. By the time you get home, you get to discover this guy is arrogant, pompous, no respect for women at all. Doesn't even understand who a woman is at all. So you find out you pursue what you want only to discover that what you want is not what you need. It is however been proven that most men that have what you need don't always have everything you want. But we've discovered that men that have what you need, if only you can take care of them, they will evolve, because you can reproduce what a woman wants, but you cannot reproduce what a woman needs in a man who has what she wants. I warned you before that you will need a CD. I will be throwing them at you like this, eh? Amen. Ah, let me take it easy on you. Let's look at the case of Jesus. Jesus came to the Jews as a season changer. Am I correct, sir? John chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is that true? The Bible says he was a light. And the Bible said the life of all men was in him. So two things Jesus came with to the Jews. He came with life, and he came with what? Light. For the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness does what, sir? Comprehended it not. So Jesus brought two things. He brought them to the Jews. He brought life, and he brought what, sir? Light. In order to come into relationship, watch this carefully, please. I'm going to say this again. He came with what the Jews need or needed. Is that all right? The Jews needed life, and they needed what, sir? Light. That's what they need. Watch this carefully. But the Jews also want something. The Jews want a military leader who will guide them to war. Now, what they want now came to becloud their perspective from seeing what they need. In essence, their desire for a military leader blinded them to the reality of the fact that what they truly need is what, sir? A Messiah who comes with what, sir? Light and life. And not a Messiah who comes with weapons of war. That was why Jesus came and walked on their streets for 33 and a half years, and they still did not see him as their Messiah. I'm going somewhere. Isn't it possible for a sister to be here and a Messiah has been passing around her, but she's been looking for a Messiah to come in a bright and shining armor, holding weapons with biceps and triceps? Unfortunately, sister, the biceps and the triceps that you're looking for in the guy that you want to marry, can I make a little alarm to you here? Sister, you may have to get married to that guy, take him to the gym, let him register, carry some weights, so that the biceps and the triceps you want may be developed in the man. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? That's why I said, you cannot recreate in a man who has what you want, what you need. Sir, can I shock you? They wanted a Messiah with weapons that can fight wars. But the Messiah that came was the one that brought light and life. Because if they have light and life, there will be no need for them to fight wars. So what they needed was a Messiah with life and light. What they were looking for was a Messiah with weapons. Can I say this, sir? I said to you, if you find a man that has what you need, you can make him develop what you want. The Messiah that came with life and light, in his second coming, he will come with what, sir? Weapons. To do what, sir? Rule. Baby girl, can I advise you, if you are single, if only you can celebrate the man that is around you with life and light. And if you can just learn to celebrate him, I guarantee you, under God, there is a man who has weapons inside the man who has life and light. Are you getting what I'm saying here? But if you go for a man who has weapons, he may not have light and what, sir? I'm going parabolic, but I'll get specific. They rejected him. Their Messiah came, but they rejected him. He said, I came to my own. And my own did what, sir? My own did what, sir? Receive me not. I came to my own. Pastor, I became afraid when I saw that scripture. It means that it is possible for God to assign a man to a woman, but because the woman, or assign a woman to a man, but because the woman did not receive the man, or the man did not receive the woman, it is very possible for God to change his plan. concerning those people. I came to my own. My own received me not. Therefore, as many, anybody now that receives me, is that, oh come on, talk to me. Is that not why men are married? And he came to his own wife, but the wife does not receive him. He's trying to come to his wife, and the wife is not receiving and celebrating him. And now the man looks, you are not celebrating me at home. Now to as many secretaries, to as many girls in the office, marketers, to as many as receive me now, to them I give. Give. Don't ask me what he gives. Isn't that what's going on? Women have, God has sent some women into the life of some men to come and help these men fulfill their destinies. But these men, unfortunately, don't have clues about the assignment of a woman. Because until you receive your woman as your assignment, you will never appreciate and celebrate who she is. So the woman comes into your life, PJ. She has been sent to her own. But when you can't receive and celebrate, the proof of acceptance is celebration. When you don't celebrate the woman, the Bible says, and to as many as receive me, I give them what I brought for the other ones. It's happening today in our world. The love he is busy giving it to some young girls all over the place. The love that a man should give to his wife, he is busy dropping it all over here with secretaries and all manner of stuff. You know why, sir? I came to my own received me not. The proof of acceptance is celebration. Praise God. The same thing with children. God sends children, he sends children into families. And when he sends his children into families, your children, when God sends them to you and the family does not receive them, then the children shall, to whosoever receive them, they will give them their time, give them their secrets, give them their energy. That's why. The law of celebration. Jesus walked away from the Jews because they could not celebrate him. He was assigned to them, but they could not receive him. They could not celebrate him. And so he said, the life, man of God, I have sat down with women and I've sat down with men over the last 10 years of counseling couples. Sat down with men and women who are hurting. Pastor, I sat down with a woman who got married to a guy who calls himself a pastor. She got married to this guy. This guy is, he said he was a pastor. The reality was that when he got married to her, he decided to stop pastoring because she happens to be she was a multimillionaire. So she got married. She said God told her to marry, please watch this. She said God told her to marry somebody who is starting so that she can be one who helps the man fulfill his destiny in accordance with. This woman married this man. And when she got married to him, as soon as she got married to him, the man resigned from pastoral assignment. He said he's no more called to be a pastor. The man now decided to sit at home. I will now tell the wife that at the end of every month, you bring the salary and lay it at the apostle's feet. I said, can't you see where you started becoming erotic or erratic? Now, listen, apostles don't sit inside the house. Apostles should be somewhere doing something. He will wake up in the morning, tie wrapper around his waist, and then be chewing stick, sit down in the front of the house that a woman built. Are you getting what I'm saying? Demanding from her that she should change the name on the document of the house to his name. I say, sir, women don't need you to demand that from them. If you prove yourself worthy to be a worthy husband, a woman will naturally fill up the document, sign up everything, and come and say, you deserve to be my head. I bring my trophies and I lay them down at your feet. You don't demand that from a woman, you earn it. He now began to ask her, change the name, change the document. And the woman said, sorry, sweetheart, you don't force me. Anyway, to cut a long story short, he began to beat her. Put her on the ground, match her neck. When he noticed he was not having his way, he began to blackmail her. He said, the kind of money she's making. I'm talking about somebody who was a secretary to the AGM of one of the biggest banks in this country. She was with my wife and I in the UK just recently. In pain. She did everything to make this guy's life work. Unfortunately, he couldn't get it. Anyway, their marriage ended up in a divorce. She came to her own, and her own receive her not. Now, as I speak with you, to as many who will receive her, to them, she will carry the life and the light that she brought to this wonderful brother that rejected her. She will carry the life and the light and take it to somebody else. You have missed people like that in your life. People that God has sent into your life with light and life to add color to your life, but because you couldn't celebrate them, they have decided to go with what they came into your life with. They have decided to take it to some other people. Somebody say, Lord, can you have mercy on me? Say, Lord, have mercy on me. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 13, Acts of the Apostles in verse 44 to 47, the Bible says, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting, blaspheming, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary. Please see that. Read that. It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to Husa. Can I hear you? We turn to Husa, to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light unto the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be salvation for the ends of the earth. Look at this again in scripture, please. Don't take it off yet. It said, listen, it said, I was sent to bring you the word, but because you rejected it, you refused to celebrate me and the gift and the grace that God has given to me for you. I turn from you and I go to the Gentiles. And many men and women today are turning to the Gentiles because the one that they are sent, you don't know how miserable some people are, pastor, in relationship. Forget about the ties and the suits and the cars. Forget about the fine looks that we have. In actual fact, some of us, if not for the cars that we buy, the houses that we build, if not for the trips that we make, if not for the colognes that we use, if not for the monies we have, man of God, some of us will have run mad because the most important thing in our lives does not celebrate us, so we have to find something else to make us happy. Paul said, it was necessary that this thing that God has given to me, the word, should be given to you first. But seeing that you do not celebrate it, I'm sorry. I'm taking what God has given to me and I'm going to go to those who will celebrate me. The proof of acceptance is celebration. I'm going to break it down very quickly now. Let me use this opportunity to warn everyone under the sound of my voice. Because success is built on a series of connections. You are where you are because of those you know. You will get to where you're going to next in life because of those that you will still meet in life. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is a platform in destiny that you are about to climb. Somebody is going to hold your hand and introduce you there. Am I talking to anybody here? If that is the case, you must learn to practice the law of celebration. So that someone that is sent to you will not turn away from you. So that someone that is sent to you will not turn away from you. And why do people turn away from people? I will tell you why. Why is it that a man that is sent to a woman, sent to a man,
children that are sent to families. Why is it that they turn away from those that they are sent to? Number one, take note of this very strongly. Whenever you choose to ignore what is good in your mate, what is good in an individual, and focus on what is wrong or what is deficient in the person, you will never be able to celebrate the person. I'll say that again. If all you do is sitting down to focus on what is wrong in your spouse, what is wrong in your mate, you can never see one that you critically judge. You can never celebrate. Celebration is a language of significance and value. Celebration is a language of significance and value. In essence, you only celebrate people that you value. And you can never value anyone who's... I'll say that again. Celebration is a language of value. And you can never value anybody whose strengths you have not identified. I have learned for a long time now that what is important gets celebrated. You didn't hear what I said? What is important, guess what, sir? It gets celebrated. What is repeatedly celebrated gets magnified. What is significant must be celebrated. What you repeatedly celebrate will be magnified. Celebrate how your wife greets you or your mate greets you. It will get magnified. And there is something about the human. What that simply means is that if you celebrate me for the food that I'm cooking, I will not want you to keep celebrating me alone for food. I want to look for something else that you must celebrate me for. In essence, celebration in one aspect can lead to celebration in other aspects of your partner's life. People are created to be celebrated, not tolerated. People are created. Human beings are created to be celebrated and not tolerated, not ill-treated. There is something about human beings generally. We all gravitate towards relationships that celebrate us. Am I correct? If I'm correct, wave at me if I'm correct. A critical spirit will always dwell in darkness. Trust me. If you are somebody that likes criticizing, always looking for what is wrong in your partner, you will, first of all, you are not going to undo your partner, you will undo yourself. People that like to criticize people a lot, they dwell in darkness. I can prove that to you. There's one of our, what's the name of our elder brother, our first elder brother? The one that fell from heaven. What's his name? What's his name again? Uncle? Huh? Lucifer. What was the problem of Lucifer? His inability to celebrate God. His critical attitude towards the worship given to God. His inability to celebrate where God has put him. Where is Lucifer today, sir? Going to and fro. A man that was living in majesty and splendor. Where is he today, sir? Going to and fro the earth. Where will he spend the rest of his days? In eternal what, sir? Darkness. That is what happens to people that don't know how to celebrate others. They keep jumping to and fro in life. People that don't know how to celebrate their pastors, don't know how to celebrate their church. I can tell you one thing you should know. Those kind of people, they are jumping from church to church because they are always looking for what is wrong in a place, and then they will think it is right over there. Unfortunately, wherever human beings gather, imperfection will be present. If If you know how to celebrate people, you will learn to bring the best out of them. If you criticize people, you will bring out the worst out of them. Keep on criticizing your mates. Get out, Joe. You don't know how to talk. Not only will the person not know how to talk, very soon the person will begin to roar. It is true. Hello, sirs. Can I say something? Look up here, everybody. Have you noticed, how do we train our children here? Come here, come here. My father was beating me as if I was his mate. My father was a military man. My mother called my father. She sent an information to him that I stole meat. Please, now listen, I'm born again. Is that okay? How did that? In those days, amen, in the days of ignorance, my mother sent to my father and told him that I stole meat from the pot. Now, there was a reason why I had to steal. Is that okay? Stealing is not justified. But then there was a reason why I need to steal that meat. You understand what I'm saying now? Okay. So, and so the man was coming from office with his shiny boots, coming with his military uniform. It's my custom normally when I hear my father coming to quickly rush up to my father and collect things from him. When my father was coming, I rushed up to my father to collect. As I stretched my hands, the next thing was that my father packed me from the floor. I will never forget the land, the impact. Then I knew I had weight. Whether it was lightweight or featherweight, it's not an issue. I knew I had weight when I made impact with the ground. And the man began to punch me and beat me. I'm like, I'm not your mate. And some of us women, I'll see some of you, you with your child. Today you go die. A mother, you carry a seat on top of your child. Where you don't enter, and you can bring your hand. You bite your own child. Something. My mother, she will speak in Yoruba. She said, I will make a mark on your body. That's my sister. She would, when she's beating myself, she would say, I will make a mark in your body. You will remember me for life. Break your heart. A mother biting. Mommy, sorry, mommy. I'm sorry. That was, you know, when you were not born again. Man. Can I tell you something? My son was 2 years old. And one day David did something that was wrong in the house. I was reading and I had BAM! And I thought maybe there was electric shock, fire, breakout somewhere. And I went out. David was crying. I said, what happened? You touch electric? He said, no. He says, mommy, that shocked me. What happened? She said, I had to slap him. I said, you slap who? I said, you slap an Oye. You slap my son, you slapped him. We meet inside the room. Because it's our rule never to quarrel in the presence of our children. It's a rule. Let's meet inside the house. I said, sweetheart, why did you beat him? She said, what? Eh? What? He said, because he's your first son, doesn't mean you should spoil him. More. If you leave him like that, he's going to get spoiled. I said, eh. I said, what makes you think what you've just done now will make him good? She said, a child you don't beat will get spoiled too. Spare the rod and spoil the child. I said, what do you understand by the rod? What do you understand by the rod? I said, you will never raise your hand to slap a child, an Oye, in this house again. See, but how are we going to train them? I asked her a question. I said, how were you trained? See, they bet me now. I said, what did he make you become? How is it that you never question the paradigm that produced you? Unfortunately, you want to repeat it. Every time you slap a child, you are awakening in the child a violent spirit. You are raising a violent child without your knowledge because you are depreciating the child with that kind of treatment. You slap, kick, insult, download, upload, on a child. And she says, how are we going to train the child? I say, talk. Ah, talk? I say, yeah, talk. I say, isn't it shocking? See all our children that we are beating, we have bet in this country. See how they are producing aeroplane. Can't you see the aeroplane some of you have produced? See the aircraft you have produced. Eh? Look at the phones you have created through beating. Can you see that? Can't you see the refineries that you have refined? Eh? See what you have created through beating. See where we are? Because every time you beat a child, you malhand child, what you are destroying is the self-esteem of the child. I said the first thing you must never steal from a child is the descendants. Two, what you must never steal from a child is what we call his sense of self-esteem. Number three, sense of self-actualization, that I am a person. There are better ways. And now, the boy is about 8 years old now, and we have not had any reason to be beating this boy. But once I look at David, a look is enough to communicate to him more than what he do. Hi, la. I need to just round up right here. A culture of celebration will attract the best qualities out of your mate. A culture of celebration will attract the best quality out of your mate. Obsession with the weakness of your spouse or potential spouse or children will bring out the worst out of them. Obsession. You are obsessed with the weakness of your spouse. I have come to realize in my short few years of studying marriages, over 10 years now, of studying marriages across the world, that the most successful marriages are not the ones who perfect individuals in them. The most successful marriages are not the ones who perfect individuals in them. If my marriage is successful, it's not because I'm perfect. No. The most successful marriages are marriages where the individuals in the marriage have decided on what to focus on. I'll continue on Wednesday, but let me leave you with these few thoughts before I leave here today. Only a few thoughts. What are you focusing on? What are you looking at? If you keep looking at the weakness of somebody, you will not bring out the best out of the person. What you celebrate in a person will appreciate. What you keep criticizing will make the person depreciate. Your marriage and relationship is going down because you have not learned how to appreciate people. Unfortunately, for many of us, we were not wired to appreciate or celebrate people because we came from homes where nobody celebrated us. A woman looked at me and said, Pastor Sam, what is birthday day? Birthday party. See, I've never done it since I was born. Nobody did birthday for me. Birthday? He said, I attend birthdays where they give people biscuits. Say, me, no. Not once. Such a person will find it difficult to celebrate others because a person was never born in the culture of celebration. Why is the church quiet on me this morning? That's why we're ruining our marriages. That's why we're ruining our relationship. Never forget that marriages that are successful are not made up of individuals who are what? Can I hear everybody say that again? Perfect. The way you're treating your spouse or potential spouse to be your children, if God is to treat you like that, will you survive the treatment? Every one of us has got some form of imperfection on the inside of us. Am I correct? Mary Oye knows that Samuel is not a perfect person. She knows that. If she focuses on the weakness of Sam Oye, she will not have a successful marriage. But you know, she will look at me and say, baby, you know, you're a very caring father. I would have loved that drummer to play that drum. It's like a talking drum. You're a caring husband, sweetheart. Your children are proud of you. You know, I'm extremely proud of you. I'm like, amen. As a man who was not cultured with celebration, when I'm hearing those things, I'm suspecting her praise. So
Maybe she won't collect money from her hand. Why is she praising me like that?
But sir, as she keeps praising me, she keeps creating an environment around me that sets a new standard for my behavior. Stop waiting to catch your partner where he did. Some of you have become police people in your house. Police. SS. Looking. Shebi, I told you. That text message. Who sent the text? I have been waiting. This is what I've been waiting for. Now, because you have been waiting to catch him with that text message, that's why you've never seen all the good things he's been doing. Can I say this to you? What you look for is what you will see. What you inspect, you will find.